thanks for joining me. Let's pray. I really do want to pray for you. If you have a special intention and you don't get through on the phones for some reason and you really need to get it before our eyes, a couple ways you can do that. It's drew@relevantradio.com, and that's our email. Or you can go ahead and put it on our Twitter account, @DrewMariani Show. And I think it's such a great way to, connect. Patrick will share some of that with us, and we'll pray together. Just one quick note on prayer here, just based on Blessed Sapochko. He wrote about the power of prayer. And again, he was the spiritual director to St. Faustina. And, he said, the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing, right? John 15:5. And the Lord, throughout Scripture, tells us, you ask and it will be given to you. Knock, the door will be opened. He who asks will receive. The one who seeks will find, right? Go to Matthew 7:7. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer, Matthew 21. I mean, Scripture is just abundant with these messages from Jesus himself saying, hey, here's the power of prayer. Let's ask. Let's believe. Let's knock. Let's seek. Let's do those things, right? So, Sapochko was reflecting on the power of prayer, and he says, when you pray, it's got to be a conversation with God, and that conversation should have certain characteristics. It should be trusting. I often talk about that, right? It should be humble. And here's the third part that I always find, I guess, interesting. It should be persistent, right? I know we ask and we want our prayers answered immediately. Trust the Lord, do it with great humility, but be persistent. He says you have to prepare yourselves for prayer. Just think about the Scripture, right? I think about perseverance in prayer. He told that parable Christ did of the unjust judge who refused a long time to defend a certain widow against her adversary, right? And what the Lord said, he said, and will not God, bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting you off? He says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. The apostles before his passion, what did the Lord say? He said, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation, right? So you're not put to the test. We have to pray with trust, humility, and we have to persevere. We got to keep knocking. We got to keep asking. We have to be persistent. We can't lose our faith. You cannot lose that. Again, he's the spiritual director to one of the greatest saints, the first saint of the new millennium. And, I think Sapochko gives us great hope by showing us that what Jesus has taught about prayer. First, you got to believe that God's mercy compels him to answer your prayer. That's what Sapochko says. God's mercy will compel him to answer your prayer. Secondly, you got to be humble in your prayer, which means be honest with yourself and with God. We're not perfect. And then third, persevere in that prayer because God doesn't do magic tricks. We all want instant miracles. We don't always receive it. But trusting that God will do what's best for you, that's the key to understanding the power of prayer. Because if you've been praying for a long time, I'm sure you're going to remember things that you prayed for that you're glad you did not receive. Believe me. Maybe that person you wanted to marry, the job you thought you should have, whatever, the house you wanted to buy. And in retrospect, you say, Lord, thank you for shutting that door. Oh my gosh, what a mistake. You've blessed me with something far greater. I'm sure you can remember those prayers. So put it in the hands of the Lord and persevere. Trust God because he will answer your prayers and he'll answer it in a way that's best for you. I'm joined today by my colleague, Dan Axt. He's going to join us for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on this great feast of Blessed Sapochko. He's our digital media producer here at Relevant. And Dan, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Good afternoon. It's good to be here with you.
Before we start, anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I just have a couple intentions that I want to pray for here. First and foremost, for my parents, Jim and Sheila Axt. They've been very supportive, loving, and very understanding during all my hardships in my life. And they're just wonderful parents, Drew. And so I just want to pray that God may bless them in a special way. Also for a Catholic men's group that I attend in the Milwaukee area called Millennial Catholic Gentlemen and the JP2 men's group. And finally, for the conversion of sinners, end to fear in people's hearts, and for all of our listeners and donors of Relevant Radio.
That's a great prayer. Well, it's good to have you on our team, Dan. I'm grateful to pray. It's so beautiful to hear you testify to what great parents you have. I mean, we are blessed by our parents, and we'll certainly lift them up and pray for them as well. And, of course, we'll take your calls and your intentions. Well, I just want to share one intention that did come into my inbox. And says, Drew, could you pray for a cousin that's like a brother to me? I want you to pray for him and his wife. His wife's been unfaithful. Look, it was several years ago, a bunch of one-night stands, and his was several years ago, one-night stands. Hers is very recent and with a past boyfriend. She's refusing to give up the friendship with this guy and doesn't seem to want to work things out for the marriage. Is there anything we can do besides pray? They have two children. I'm sad for them and angry at her for not wanting to even try to work things out for her family. Thanks for listening, and thank you for the prayers. Well, one thing we can all do right now is pray for that relationship, those children, and I do want to pray for anyone who's suffering from infidelity, for any troubled marriages, any troubled relationships, and for an end to the culture of death. And we'll begin as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I also want to pray for a colleague that I work with. I spoke to him on the phone earlier today. He's having some issues with an infection, and I told him I'd offer some prayer for him. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Josephine, listening to us in New Jersey. Good afternoon, Josephine.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am calling for prayer, selfishly, for myself. I am in the emergency room right now, and I am waiting for test for my heart. I am a dialysis patient, and I've been really, really having a rough time with my health. And they're going to have to do an angioplasty to see if there's blockage.
Well, let's pray for good results. Let's pray for peace for you, too. And look, you're not selfish at all praying for this. This is a critical situation. I'd be on the phone right now asking for you to pray for me as well. So, look, I'm glad you got through. I want you to really be at peace.
Thank you.
I want you to put your trust in God, and we're going to pray for your physicians, and we're going to pray for your heart. I had a friend who called me earlier today, and he was raced to the hospital because he thought he was having a heart attack. Same thing. It ended up being an infection. And he's okay today. And Josephine, we're going to pray for good news for you, okay? So join us
Thank you so much.
No, you got it. Be at peace. Prayer's coming your way. Lord, I thank you for Josephine, and I do ask. I thank you for the gift of medicine. I pray for these surgeons, these physicians who will treat her, that they have divine wisdom, and that their hands be your hands, and that you restore this woman to complete health. If it's through medical procedure, we thank you. We thank you for all that she'll endure, and we ask that it be meritorious. If it be your will, we bring her to you for your divine touch as well. But I pray for all those having cardiac issues, all those having any sort of problems right now where they're in the ER, they're facing surgery or unknown ailments. I give you the body, Lord. I know it breaks down. I know so often it's a means of suffering. We ask for the grace and the fortitude to endure our crosses as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I will go to Massachusetts next. Joe is listening to us there. Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Drew, first-time caller. My mother, Catherine, 89 years old, she passed away Saturday night into Sunday. She had been on, she had Alzheimer's the past 10 years and declining, but she had fallen in August and broke her neck, and she was in hospice this whole month. But what I really want to tell people is, it's your show and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The first thing I did when I went in and checked on her and seen that she had gone for a called hospice or anyone else, I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet because of reading your book and reading the St. Faustina's diary, how important this is to be prayed over a person who has died.
Yeah, take comfort in that. First of all, Joe, my heart goes out to you. You know, I lost my mother just a couple years ago, and I loved her very much. I'd call her just about every day, and I know you were very close to your mother, so I know she loves
all
you.
All of us were.
Yeah. I know she loves you in a special way and can love even more perfectly from the other side of the veil. We live forever. That's where we're created, to live forever, and one day you'll be perfectly united. And I'm so happy that you were able to pray the chaplet, because God's outside of time. We know how powerful that prayer is. And let's pray for you now. Let's pray for the soul of your mother. Let's pray for all those who mourn. And Lord, I give you Joe and his family, all those who suffer loss. I pray for those approaching the threshold of death. And I pray for the hour of our own death, that you will meet us as a merciful Savior, not a just judge. But I do pray for those who've gone before us, especially the souls in purgatory who so desperately need our prayers. We thank you for the gift of the chaplet, the promises of this prayer, and we turn to you praying it. Once again, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Christine is, before I go to Christine, let me bring Patrick. And Patrick, I know you're looking at our Twitter feed. A lot of people putting their intentions
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, Drew.
What's coming in?
And first of all, even intentions that are not said, they are still prayed for nonetheless. But here are some of the intentions, Drew. Chris is praying for the overturn of Roe v. Wade and for wisdom in our country. Mercedes is praying for Paul, who had surgery yesterday. Bernadette is praying for souls in purgatory. John is praying for a better job situation for his girlfriend. Jeff is praying for an infant baby girl named Lillian, who was born with epilepsy and has surgery today to cut the brain in half. And also, one more prayer intention, Drew. Mary called in, couldn't get on air, calling in about a neighbor who is in the hospital in the ICU with COVID.
Oh, well, all right. Well, thank you, Patrick. We'll lift up all of those intentions, and we'll add Christine to the list of intentions. She's praying in New Mexico with us. Hi, Christine.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I wanted to pray for my father, Johnny Baca. He had PET scan results this Friday that came in to narrow it down that it could be now possibly an infection, or it can be cancer, mesothelioma. And he has a biopsy in 2 weeks to find out. And I wanted to go ahead and pray for negative cancer results and also for his anxiety and stress because he's really scared right now.
Yeah. Well, let's pray for that. We'll pray for good results. Christine, thank you for calling. We'll pray for you and for your family. And Lord, I just extend this intention. I pray for her father. You know, when those PET scans come back, you know, can be quite alarming, especially if they're lit up. And I just pray, Lord, I pray for anyone who's waiting for test results, biopsies, PET scans, CAT scans, whatever they may, MRIs, that the results be good news. I do pray for those who are battling with anxiety and fear and great trepidation, that you fill their hearts with peace and you allow them to feel your presence. And we pray for miracles. I pray against cancer. I pray for the vanquishing of this wretched disease that takes so many lives. And I pray for those in the battle with it. You fortify them. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, and my call screener, Nick, just sent me a message. Could you pray for this caller that just called in? A friend just died in a motorcycle accident last night. They're praying for his soul. We don't know the day or the hour. Colleen in St. Louis, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The reason I'm calling is I have a brother-in-law who is currently in a Seattle hospital. He lives in Alaska, but he had surgery in June for cancer. They removed it. He had irradiated it, and then he's developed some horrible infection. He can't breathe. They've got him in a hyperbaric chamber. He can't eat, breathe, nothing. He's lost like probably 60 pounds, and he's the most wonderful man. I just would love this whole group that I listen to every day to pray for him, please.
Well, Colleen, we're going to pray for you. Your phone was breaking up a little bit. I think I got everything. Your brother-in-law has cancer, back in the hospital, and lost 60 pounds, and we're going to pray for him right now. We're going to pray for you, too. And thank you for calling with such a compassionate heart. Thanks for praying with us every day. We're a family. I mean, I really believe that we're all a spiritual family. If you pray with me every afternoon, you're part of my spiritual family. And I pray for you when I go to Mass in the morning, when I pray my rosary, when I talk with the Lord, when I spend time with Him, when I pray my chaplet. And I pray for you all the time. And I know we pray for each other. That's the beauty of the Divine Mercy Intercessors. It's the beauty of what we do here. And God's heart's moved by our prayers. I'm convinced of it. That's why this is such an anointed time of prayer. And Lord, I ask right now for all those who are crying out to you for miracles in their life, for those who are battling cancer, those who are losing their weight, for those who are in just critical situations, be it physically with their health or whether it be emotionally and psychologically, whether it be financially, whether it be in their relationships. I just ask that your mercy go in and be the balm, the remedy, the ointment that heals the wounds and heals those problems as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Boring, Oregon. Helen is praying with us there. Hi, Helen, good afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Drew, for your ministry. I'm calling today for my niece who was born, Amelia. She was born 4 weeks premature, and she's 2 months old now and caught a cold from her sister and is at Dornbecker Children's Hospital with she has one lung that isn't working and the other one's only partially working and several other side effects. They haven't really zeroed in on all of what they are, but she's really in trouble. So for her complete healing.
Oh, well, let's pray for her. Be at peace, Helen, okay? You got through today. I think it's great. I believe the Lord is going to be healing. And Lord, I give you this particular intention. I'm going to grab another call here, too. And we'll add it to that of Helen and all who are praying with us. This comes from John. He's listening in Wisconsin. John, how can we pray for you today?
Hi, Drew. I need my younger brother, Richard, lifted up in prayer today. I need to invoke God's mercy on his soul. He's been battling drugs throughout most of his adult life, and today when I told him I couldn't help him anymore, that I had to let him figure it out on his own, because he had relapsed, and ultimately it led him to take his own life today, about an hour ago.
Hey, John, I want you to hear something, all right? I don't want you to blame yourself. It's not your fault that your brother did that, okay? And it's really important that you know that. Okay, I mean, brother, I want you to know that. Yeah. I have a loved one that has battled drugs, and, you know, you did what was right. I mean, there's only so much you can do. And this is every parent's, every brother's nightmare, that I'm not going to do this and something's going to happen. But God is so merciful. You know, God is so merciful. Your brother was not in the right place, and the Lord loved him more than you loved him. All right? He did. He loves him more than you possibly could. And I know that he's going to be in the embrace of our Lord. And we'll pray this chaplet. You know, I talk about how God is outside of time and how we can pray for someone like your brother or someone who's gone before us. So I really want to pray for you. And I'm going to be praying for you, John. And I know everyone who's listening to me right now, they're going to be praying for you as well. I can't imagine what you personally are going through and what you're going to go through. But we'll pray for your brother especially, but count on our deepest prayers, all right? I'm glad you got through today. I'm so glad you got through. Hang in there, okay? And call. Call if you need anything. All right. And Lord, I just give you this man who's broken, who did what was right, and now his brother took his life. That's less than an hour ago. And right after the brother said he couldn't do anything else for him. Lord, I just ask in a special way, and I don't know how you'll do this, but you enter into John's life. You let him encounter you and feel you, and that you protect him, that you embrace him, and that you allow him to see the good that comes from the situation. I know in the middle of this dark storm, this dark night, it seems impossible that good can come in any way from this, but I know you bring good out of everything. And I ask for the healing of John. I pray in particular for the soul of his brother. I pray right now for all parents who have children that are battling addiction, all siblings who've got brothers or sisters that are battling addiction, all spouses. And it's so hard to show tough love and to say, no, enough is enough. And I ask you protect those individuals. And I ask you liberate and free from the demonic hooks of addiction, all those now in this fight. And I just bring them to the foot of the cross. And Heavenly Father, I just ask for miracles in this hour. I ask your mercy to be poured upon them. I ask for healing. I ask for consolation. And I pray with confidence and with trust and with perseverance as I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and in which the treasury... I just lost my thought. Let me start that again. I'm so sorry. Eternal Father, eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying. Let's keep praying for one another.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Do you anticipate being able to fully participate with practices on October 13th with your vaccination status?
I'm just going to keep all that private right now.
Is the prospect of possibly not being able to play home games something that weighs heavy on you right now?
Again, anything that's to do with my status, vaccination, I'm just going to keep that private. You know, it's a personal matter, so I'm going to keep it personal and private.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is an issue that just continues, doesn't it? Conscience, vaccines, the common good. I thought we'd talk about that just briefly. I saw a report I thought I'd share with you. In Massachusetts, it's being reported that dozens of state police officers, and you might have seen this story, they're resigning their position after being offered jobs in other state or jurisdictions because, you know, the Bay States demand for them to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A lot of these troopers are saying, no way, I don't want to get vaccinated, so I'm finding another job. And as a result, they could face a shortage as literally dozens of state troopers resigned over these vaccine mandates. I'll share a little bit with you right now. Here's part of the story from 22 News in Springfield.
The State Police Association of Massachusetts says that dozens of troopers are resigning. Their push against a vaccine mandate failed in court last week. 22 News has learned tonight that at least one officer has formally resigned. Per Governor Baker's order, all state employees need to be vaccinated by October 17th. The suit requested that officers who didn't want to get the shot or who already had COVID could replace the vaccine with weekly testing and mask wearing. They also wanted any COVID-related injuries to count as line-of-duty injuries, which would warrant extra benefits. SPAM is calling Baker's mandate one of the most stringent in the country due to its lack of alternatives besides simply getting the shot.
All right, so that's Massachusetts. New York, there's situations all across the country. Some senators have actually introduced a bill called COVID-19 Vaccine Dishonorable Discharge Prevention Act, which would actually prohibit the military from giving a dishonorable discharge to members because they refuse to get vaccinated. They could still be discharged, but it wouldn't go on the records as a dishonorable discharge. And one doctor we heard from on here on the show, he's working right now at a lower ranked hospital, but he trained and worked at one of the top ranked hospitals in the world. I won't disclose his name and I won't disclose the hospital he worked at, but he's a top ranked cardiologist. And he told us that his job's on the line because he won't get the vaccine. He also said that about 20% of the workforce at the hospital, they don't want to get the vaccine and their jobs are also on the line. That always gives me pause. I mean, why is it these physicians and nurses don't want to get the vaccine, right? What do they know? In New York, there was a 3-judge panel of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. It ruled that the city's mandate that all public school employees, right, you've got to get vaccinated. And the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that can stand. So the demand goes into effect on Monday, which means that they either have to be vaccinated by Friday if they want to keep their jobs, or they lose their jobs. I mean, how do you do this? It really puts people in a difficult situation because sometimes you need two incomes, right? You know what I'm talking about. You have a mortgage, you got a car payment, you got tuition bills, you've got groceries, you got medical bills, you've got student loans, life is expensive. It's expensive. So to lose a job over something like this is very difficult for a lot of people. So are they going to be coerced into being vaccinated? The governor of New York, and please pray for her. She's a Catholic, but man, what a wackadoodle, if that's even a word. I mean, I cannot believe over this New York governor. The things that she is doing to advocate and advance a culture of death, it's just terrible. She's planning on declaring some kind of state of emergency if healthcare workers don't get the vaccine, right? So she's not allowing any religious exemptions on this at all. She started using religious language to get people to persuade their families and friends to get shots. She was saying, "You're my disciples, be my apostles, go out and what are you saying?" Right. So she plans on. Here's what she wants to do. She wants to call in medically trained members of the National Guard, and she wants to get these. She wants to change New York regulations to allow newly graduated nursing and medical students to get right to work without having to go through regulatory hoops before they can start practicing, in order just to make up for the current shortfall. And for the shortfall that, will come when the current and these experienced healthcare workers jump ship because, they're not allowed to claim a religious exemption to getting the shot. She won't let them get the religious exemption. Almost all healthcare workers at major healthcare providers in the New York State have gotten the mandate, and some aren't happy. They really aren't happy with this. Take a listen to CNBC, what they're reporting.
Northwell Health, the largest healthcare system in New York State, says they've seen nearly 100% compliance system-wide, though not everyone is happy to be a part of that statistic, and some are still refusing to get vaccinated.
We were forced to take the shot or resign. That was our choice.
And what did you choose?
I chose to get the COVID shot because I need my job.
I'm not taking that vaccine. It's more like it's either a paycheck or my rights.
State Governor Kathy Hochul says there are plans to bring in healthcare workers from other states, if not other countries, if there is any sort of staffing shortage. And she says she won't hesitate to issue an emergency order that would bring in help from the National Guard.
All right, so that's what's happening there in the state of New York. There's a lot more stories out there that I can share with you. They all point to one thing. The demands of our conscience can sometimes, they can throw wrenches into the gears of the bureaucratic state. And people don't like when that happens, right? That's the bottom line. That's the synthesis of this. Monsignor Charles Pope, he wrote a great piece, and we'll link over to it on our Twitter page. You can read it. It's called Conscience, COVID Vaccines, and the Common Good. You can check him out at MonsignorPope.com. That's MSGRPope.com. Monsignor, thanks for being with me once again. I always appreciate your writing. I tell you that all the time and love this piece as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for for that. I appreciate it.
This is a strange battleground. It does give me a little bit of pause. For those who are vaccinated, people are probably saying, why? What's with twisting everybody's arm to the point of breaking? I mean, I don't understand why we are shoving the vaccine down everybody's throat to the point that we're going to violate their conscience, right? That's one thing. And then there's others who aren't vaccinated who say, hey, look, this is for the common good. Just do it. Don't be a conspiracist. Don't worry about it. Let's start maybe with a definition, if we could, as to what the common good is. What exactly is that? And how are you reading what's now unfolding? I never thought when the pandemic unfolded we'd get to this point in our country.
Yeah, I think to define the common good, I'm not doing this as a lawyer in civil law, but the common good is when the good of the many outweighs the good of the few, and the individual goods or individual rights are when the good of the one may need to outweigh the good of the many, and we have to find a balance. for that. And there are certain cutouts or carve-outs we've traditionally made for conscientious objection, which seem to be disappearing pretty quickly in this country. And so the church teaching has been generally to balance the common good with individual rights, but to always remind that there are just going to be times when we can't force people to do things against their conscience. And so in this, you know, there's some statements that the bishops, the USCCB, also the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and other bishops' conferences have issued, and all of them contain both those dimensions, that vaccines are to be encouraged because we're all, well, we're in a situation where this COVID thing is still kind of raging, and maybe the one way we can take care of each other is to get the vaccine. Right. On the other hand, there are people who have both medical as well as moral objections, and their rights should also be respected. We can't force people to receive vaccines. And that's right. Kind of currently the stance of the church. Now, that doesn't mean every individual bishop or diocese is following the proper, you know, balance there. And we can talk about that if you want to. But the point being that I would say that the fundamental Catholic stance is largely what it has always been in these situations.
Right. My guest today, Monsignor Charles Pope, if you want to join us, I'll open the phones. Feel free to dial in. I only have them for a few minutes today. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the issue, but we'd love to hear from you. The number's 888-914-9149. Ruth is listening in Austin, Texas, and has got a comment for us, Father, or Monsignor. Ruth, you're on the air with Monsignor Pope. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. Hi. Thank you very much. I guess my thinking started with the policemen, the troopers leaving, but, you know, they might have died from COVID. I mean, people say, you know, you take the shot or you get ICU. Those are your choices. And I know people have conscience and reasons, medical reasons for not taking the vaccine. But if you're unvaccinated, I don't want you taking care of my grandma in that nursing home that lost fully vaccinated 17 seniors because one staff member was unvaccinated, plus staff caught the COVID too, and they died. And so I go with the Pope. Vaccination is an act of love. If you can get it, let's do it. You know, this has gone on too long, and I don't know what the rebelliousness is. I think some of it's just rebelling, but it's over. Thank you so much.
Ruth, thank you for calling. Thanks for sharing that. And to her point, I think she makes a really valid one. You know, if I had an elderly loved one in a hospital somewhere, I wouldn't want somebody who's not vaccinated taking care of them for fear of infecting them. And her final point was with the Holy Father. He says it's an act of love, you know, to go ahead and do this. I'd love your comments, your thoughts on what she had to say and what the Pope has said.
Well, I think I would phrase what you said just a little differently because I want to be respectful also of the other side of this issue. And that is that I would prefer that people who are taking care of my elderly grandmother, who, thanks be to God, has gone home to the Lord many years ago, I pray, is with him. But nevertheless, I don't think I can demand to live in an utterly risk-free world. I think that even if everybody gets the vaccine, it looks like it can still spread. We cannot come to zero, you know, zero risk. That's just not the nature of life. And so I think we have to make some reasonable accommodations. Now, our caller, and again, God bless you. You had to say what you said quickly. I do think, though, that we ought to be able to listen to each other on opposite sides in the church and realize that we're both dealing with what we consider very critically important issues. She articulated, our caller, very well, the one side. But the other side says, you know, they're coming after you for other stuff after this, you see. Conscience rights are important to protect. So there's that approach. There are some who have genuine medical concerns. They don't like this thing. They don't think it's been properly tested. Or maybe there's, in some cases, women are pregnant, they don't want to receive it, and you know, you see, there's any number of either medical or moral reasons that they have. Are they legitimate? I'm not the doctor, but I can just say that somewhere I think we can reduce the risk by having most people vaccinated, as I think is the case in this country. And, go ahead.
No, let me just hold you on that point because I'm up against the clock. I need to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We can talk more about it. Lines are full, so if you're trying to get through, As soon as one opens, we'll sneak you on. It's always good to have you here. Taking a look today with Monsignor Pope at conscience, COVID vaccines, and the common good. We'll pick back up on Ruth's comments, and we'll talk more right after this.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
News and commentary from a Catholic lens.
Hear me now.
Catholic lens. I can see clearly now. This is the Drew Mariani Show on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, thanks for joining me today. It is a delight to be here with you. I am speaking this afternoon with Monsignor Charles Pope. He wrote a great piece to help you, it helped me, it helped a lot of people really navigate the very muddy water that we are in today when it comes to COVID vaccines. The right to conscience, right? The right to exercise that, religious exemptions, a whole lot of other things, and also our duty as our brother's keeper to the common good. And we'll take a few of your calls for him as well. Monsignor, I don't think we got to the aspect of the Pope. We addressed to her comments saying, hey, I don't want somebody unvaccinated around my grandmother. And to be honest with you, I tend to agree with that. If I have a choice of somebody who is vaccinated being next to my grandmother who's ill or who has a comorbidity of some sort, it only makes sense if there's a diminished risk with somebody who's vaccinated to have them near that person. So I get what she was saying, but I also understand, look, if somebody in good conscience doesn't, wants to continue to keep their job, then put them in a different role than expose them to somebody who might be vulnerable. That's where I come from on the issue. But the Pope, too, said, look, do it out of love. What do you make of the Holy Father's comment? He took the vaccine.
Yeah, and so have I, just to be clear on that. I think that this is a good argument, and I think that it's one of the arguments that probably is the most persuasive. And other things being equal, I agree with it. But I do think that we have had a long history, though, in the Church of, realizing that part of love also is accepting the fact that a brother or a sister has serious, conscience concerns, some about the origins of these vaccines, some about their experimental nature, maybe just to the, on the other side of the equation. So you've got a father of 5 or 6 kids, and this thing's kind of untested. And they kept saying, it would really knock this thing back almost to zero, but it hasn't. And so, in other words, there's a lot of questions that, legitimately loom in some people's minds. Maybe they're too anxious. Oh, well, maybe so. But again, at some point in mutual love, we have to sometimes accept that it's a long, long tradition in the Catholic Church to say that, you can't force people to put drugs and things in their body. That's against the moral law, too. And so that's why I'm just saying we have to find, I would hope anyway, in the Church, a way to balance these and at least have some respect for the fact that some are very emphasizing the common good and well for them, and then some are also emphasizing that conscience rights are important too. And somewhere to find some room in our hearts for one another.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more on that. Let's go back to the phones. Patricia is listening in New York, and she wants to share with the Monsignor. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show. I just wanted to give a little explanation about what we're experiencing here with my husband's job. He's worked for the hospital for 30 years, and he's basically is going to probably lose his job. We submitted a religious exemption. We haven't heard back yet, and we also are trying for a medical exemption. But what I wanted to speak about was regarding the religious exemption. Our priest told us he could not sign anything for us because of the cardinal is not permitting priests in New York to sign any exemptions for the COVID vaccine. And our priest advised us to seek a minister of another religion. And 30 years ago, we've been married 30 years, my husband converted to Catholicism for me. And now we actually went to another minister, and the woman was a lovely person, and she wrote an absolute beautiful letter. But I just feel, to be honest with you, I feel betrayed by the Catholic Church. in New York that no one has the courage to speak up.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sympathetic with you in this. However, I will say the bishops have made a decision, not every single bishop, but at least collectively speaking, to emphasize getting the vaccination. And they don't want to be drawn into lengthy, support of conscientious objection in this thing. Now, but again, I would argue you don't need a letter from your pastor or bishop.
With all due respect, you have no idea what this hospital is putting us through. They have specific forms, and when it first came out, they said you could have a medical or a religious. Then they pulled back and said, no, you can no longer have a religious. Then people fought back, and I believe there was a judge that they gave they extended it.
Well, I want to finish, and that would just be to say that what I think we have to see is that fundamentally this is a civil rights issue. You, not some church, no one conveys a right to religious liberty on you. You have that from God. And our Constitution enshrines that principle. And having our pastor write a nice letter for us may have its place, but at the end of the day, this is going to have to be fought, and I think won in the courts. And I think that's, again, our bishops at this point, and again, like it or not, it's just they've decided to kind of stay back from this issue. And a lot of people say, I want the bishops to be more vocal about conscience protection. And I think to some degree you're right. But they've chosen, for reasons of their own, not to. Although in their statement, all their written documents that have come out, these things are mentioned. We've got to do more than talk, some people say, and maybe they're right, but I just want to say sometimes we have to accept what is. And so this really is ultimately a very personal quest, but you have a right to religious liberty and to conscience. No one, including the church, can give that or take it from you, you see. And this is enshrined in our teaching.
Well, again, you wrote a great article. I hope people will check it out. Let's take another call in because I'm short on time here. Sandra's listening in Chicago. Sandra, good afternoon. You are on the air with Monsignor Pope.
Good afternoon. I work in two laboratories. I'm around COVID all day. My team also worked on several antibodies. And I'm a conservative Republican. My mom lives in a nursing home. Through fire and fury, I got it open in the beginning of June after a year and a half. And then she was on lockdown last month for 2 weeks due to an employee being unvaccinated employee being positive, and now currently she's in lockdown due to a person unvaccinated resident being infected. And so I think that everybody needs to be vaccinated who works or lives in a nursing home. This is affecting me and other people seeing their loved ones. Whether or not it works, are there breakthrough cases? Yes, there are. But in this instance of not being able to see, physically touch my mom for a year and a half, only being able to see her through the window, and some families didn't even get that. I see both points, but at the same time, when I'm living it, and my mom's living it, and she can't even sit in the community room and, read her book or watch TV, it bothers me. Right. I think everybody needs to be vaccinated in a nursing
home. All right. Monsignor, I'm going to give you the final thoughts. You've got about 30 seconds.
Well, I think she's right in many levels. On the other hand, I would rather people be able to make this decision rather than the government to mandate it. So if she doesn't like the fact that the nursing home doesn't have the requirement, other nursing homes can be found. But I will say, at the end of the day, I understand. I really do. And I'm very sympathetic. And we have to find a way to watch and love each other. Okay, done.
I'm going to hold it right there. Monsignor, thank you. Check out his article. We'll post it on our Twitter page.